Eagles podcast brought to you by part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Once again, I am your host joining you on this fine Wednesday edition of Locked On Eagles. It is March 20th and I am getting ready for vacation, folks. I will be taking the next 2 days off. I am your host as always, Gino Camilleri. But before I go on vacation, I want to leave you guys with a special podcast, one that I've put a little bit of work into. Lou's letting me ride this one solo because he got caught up at his radio station. Bigger and better things. You got to take care of the job. This is our side hustle, but it's a hustle no the less. And I put a little bit of work into this one. I'm going to be talking about draft tendencies between Howie Roseman, Joe Douglas, and what it means for the future of this Philadelphia Eagles team in the upcoming draft. So I'm going to start to talk about that. As we move on, I'm going to get into, I broke down the positions in need from 1 to 7 for the Eagles, and then I'm going to take those positions of need that I think they most need additions. They obviously don't need one at quarterback in this draft, even though it wouldn't surprise me if they took a late round developmental type to draft. I'm going to go for the positions that they definitely need, you know, the offensive tackles, running backs, defensive tackles. And how I'm going to do that is I'm going to structure it based on reverse order of how the Eagles and Joe Douglas in his time in his previous two ventures tend to draft. So I'm going to go from the least likely to the most likely, but I'm going to draft the least likely first and go on from there. So how I broke this all down, I went all the way back to the year 2008 when Howie Roseman was the VP of player personnel for the Eagles, all before he became the general manager in 2010. And for Joe Douglas, I started tracking his time when he was in Baltimore as a national scout. Then he eventually ended up in Chicago as the director of scouting for 1 year in 2015, where he would eventually come on, taking over Howie Roseman's old role as the VP of player personnel, being Howie's right-hand man to draft right alongside him. And frankly, I've been pretty happy with the last few seasons draft. I've been a huge fan of Derek Barnett. He should have big things coming his way next season. Dallas Goedert did his work on the field. It spoke for itself. Offensive tackle-wise, Jordan Mailata is a nice developmental prospect. They like Matt Pryor, what they've done. Cornerback, Sidney Jones, he's got to show some promise this season. Rasul Douglas has shown promise. No one even threw at him last postseason. Avante Maddox might be the best of them all, and we could go down that list over and over, but just getting into it, since Howie became instrumental in drafting for the Eagles, you've seen this paradigm shift. And side note, I have to make note that I did not count the 2015 season for Howie Roseman since it was Chip Kelly's draft. We all know it. Everybody knows it, that Howie was sitting on the opposite side of the NovaCare complex at that time. But since Howie and Joe got together, both of their draft profiles have kind of meshed into one. And the thing is, they have been quite similar. They tend to look at positions the same. They tend to value positions the same. I know we're going to get into running back really soon, but running back is one that they like to hit on relatively late, and we've seen that. And Joe Douglas, more so, has had more success than Howie Roseman has in that regard. But both of these guys don't break away from their norms. They have a philosophy. Joe Douglas brought his philosophy to the Philadelphia Eagles, but it was similar to how Howie Roseman thought, just a different scale of grading individual players. So, no more babbling about the numbers. We'll get into it. First off, the one position that this team, Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas, collectively draft the least and the latest is offensive tackle. I know, it's probably shocking to most of you, seeing that the Eagles have had two left tackles in, what, the last almost 20 years between Trey Thomas and Jason Peters, so it doesn't overly shock me that offensive tackle is a late pick for both Joe and Howie, because they both like to develop them. You could see it in Philadelphia, they have one of the best offensive line coaches in the business, so there's a reason why they want to get these developmental late-round guys like Big V's, the Isaac Seumalos, that they can develop. They like their skill set. So offensive tackle, they take the last out of all positions that I tracked. So if we're going to go into it from a perspective of the reverse of how they would pick, We're going to go offensive tackle with the first pick. And if I were to mock them with a first-round offensive tackle, somebody that I've mentioned time and time again is a guy that I really like, and that's Dalton Risner. He's a guy that had some question marks to see if he had the size and the functional athletic ability to play offensive tackle. I think all of those questions were answered at the combine. He really had a good showing. He's been mocked in as high as 10 in some drafts that I've seen and as low as the second round. So he's a guy that it's all going to depend on how the offensive line board falls. But if the Eagles miss out on Risner, there are plenty of other candidates there. Yadni Kajust, I really like Titus Howard. But first round talent, if a guy like Jonah Williams happens to fall, I think you have to take him because that kind of talent level isn't going to be around at 25 in many drafts. And this team, they're going to expect to draft pretty high in these next upcoming, or pretty late in these upcoming drafts because they're building a powerhouse. They're building a team that's going to be around for a while. They're not going to go the way of the Seattle Seahawks. They're going to draft well, draft better, draft a team that's more sustainable than bringing in high-profile free agents, signing their guys to big contracts that they don't have any outs of. Howie Roseman is going away from that. So if a guy like a Dalton Risner, a Jonah Williams falls, I'm going to take him there. But the philosophy for this team is to wait on offensive tackles, which they graded out at a 5.0, being the latest, which equates to an early fifth round draft selection. So moving to the next position of need for this Eagles team. It's been the talk of the town. It's been what Lou and I have been talking about the last couple weeks. Whatever Eagles fan is interested in is what they are going to do at the running back position. This position, as I prefaced prior, is a position both of these gentlemen like to wait on. They graded out at a 4.83, which is a late fourth round draft selection. And what is one of the most famous draft selections we know of this combo picking in the later rounds is Danelle Pumphrey. And I think that really leaves a bad taste in many Eagles fans' mouth. And many Eagles fans, including myself, are hoping they take a back within the first two picks of this upcoming draft. Something I really think they're going to do. And running back two in my eyes right now is still Darrell Henderson. He's a guy that coming out of Memphis, a conference that likes to play a lot of offense, a lot of these spread concepts, was incorporated into the pass game a ton. He is a guy that can get vertical. I like to say that Josh Jacobs is the best in the class at getting vertical. Darrell Henderson's right behind him. He does good things on screen plays, which this Eagles team loves. He runs the ball well. He ran a sub-4.5, and long speed was his question coming into the combine, and he answered those questions. He came out, shot those questions right in the mouth, did great, tested well. He's an athletic, I'm not going to say freak, but he's above average for athletics. He's, in my eyes, he's running back two. If you're sitting there at 53, he's still on the board. You got your offensive tackle. You see some depth at defensive tackle that you know will be there in a couple picks, just three picks later. Go Darrell Henderson, because Houston, if they miss out on a running back in the first round, they may be looking to address it. Lamar Miller is getting there in age. Alfred Blue is just Alfred Blue. Who even knows if he'll be back coming next season? So Darrell Henderson is a guy, much like Delvin Cook, that I'm sure teams come day two are going to be making calls on to try and move up to get him. But for the Eagles, a team that likes to draft backs late, if they do decide to flip it on its head, go running back early, Darrell Henderson is the guy I would take in the second round. So before we finish up the second round here and move into our next segment, we're going to talk about what position they like to pick. Not the third least, because I'm going to skip over that one since it isn't a position of need. I'll talk about that in the wrap-up segment. But defensive end, which they tend to draft in the middle of the fourth round at a 4.43 grade, which is middle fourth, end of the early fourth round. So right where this team is going to be picking, come pick 127. But at pick 57, since we are going reverse order, a guy I really like, a guy I think that provides you edge. And then after the top talent of edge, there is a huge fall off. So if you could get a guy like a Chase Winovich out of Michigan, a guy with a high motor, a guy with who will come in first season with 20 snaps a game with his high motor and just beat the living crap out of offensive tackles. He's not a guy, he's not the most explosive off the line. He's a guy that's going to beat you with his motor. There are so many plays you can look back to Michigan where he's tracking guys, tracking running backs 50, 60 yards down the field. The guy does not stop. And for Jim Schwartz to love to see his defensive linemen all over the field, you can look at Fletcher Cox, how many times he's out to the boundary on plays, making tackles when he has no right being out there. Winovich is one of those guys that can step in and do that. Be a great addition to that rotation of Brandon Graham. You still have Derek Barnett. You're going to see what Josh Sweat brings you. Can they bring back a Vinny Curry in free agency? It is definitely possible. But Winovich, if you can draft an edge right there, it's either him or Christian Miller that I would have selected. But Winovich, I think he fits in with his motor, fits into this style that Jim Schwartz likes to run. So after the break, we'll get back into it, finishing up with the final four selections of our reverse order draft tendencies draft. I know that's a mouthy one, and I will put all this draft information out there for you. I'm still writing this up in a piece, but I will get out the positional grades after this segment. I'll put them in the tweet linking it to the podcast. So check us out after the break. Catch us on Locked On Eagles. Welcome on back, everybody, to the second segment of this Wednesday, March 20th edition of Locked On Eagles. Happy first day of spring, and as we spring into the first day of spring, we're going to continue our discussion on the reverse order draft tendencies mock draft for the Philadelphia Eagles. So, moving on, there are a couple positions that we are going to skip over as they are not a position of need. I will get into those as we wrap up the show, but with this fourth round pick, exactly where they like to select this position, grading out at 4.19, which equates to the early fourth round, is linebacker. I know there's a lot of talk. People were enthralled with the CJ Mosley. People are worried, oh, is LJ Fort anything but a special teamer? But don't worry. The thing is, this Eagles team, and Adam Kaplan on the Inside the Birds podcast said that when he worked with Joe Banner, the one philosophy this Eagles team had was you don't invest heavily in the running back position, and you don't invest heavily in off-ball linebacker. And I think that's the route this Eagles team has taken, and you could just look at it. I mean, what is the biggest addition that they made? They brought in LJ Fort. They still have Camus there. They still have Nate Gary there. As long as they have their guy in Nile Drew Bradham, they'll plug and play the rest. You'll see Malcolm Jenkins, down there a lot playing that linebacker position. But a guy that could come in, give you some rotational snaps, probably be a better option than Nate Gary would be Bobby Okereke. He's a guy that projects to be a will linebacker. He's more explosive in this weak linebacker group. He is a better athlete than anything. So if you want another guy that'll come in there, compete with a LJ Fort, with a Camus, even with a Nate Gary, somebody that's going to provide you a little bit of explosiveness, a little bit of extra special teams play, is a guy like Bobby Okereke. I'm not in love with any of these linebackers. I really wouldn't even be surprised if they don't select a linebacker in this draft. But for the sake of team needs, doing the reverse mock, linebacker is a position that they tend to take in that early fourth round, especially an off-ball linebacker. You look at some of these teams are spending loads of money on off-ball linebackers, and those guys are a dime a dozen. I mean, how many teams are making big dime and big nickel their base formations? Now, I always go back to the Los Angeles Chargers against the Patriots. They played seven defensive backs. Linebackers are slowly being phased out of this league, and the Eagles team has definitely continued that route. They haven't invested heavily in a linebacker in several years. Jordan Hicks walks in free agency. He's getting paid an absurd amount of money for his production and his health concerns. So no thank you on a early round linebacker. No thank you on a high profile linebacker in free agency. I'll stick with a guy like Bobby Okereke. Moving on, the next sequential number, just by 0.01 of a point graded out for safety, as another 4.18 early fourth round grade. This safety class, I say it time and time again how much I love Nasir Adderley, how much I wanted them to go for an athlete like Awan Thornhill. But there is plenty of depth in this draft, and a guy like Evan Worthington out of Colorado will definitely be able to provide you with some added talent coming out of the fourth round. He's a guy out of Colorado, obviously isn't the most polished player because he is a fourth round selection is being mocked in that fourth, fifth round area, but he's a guy that can provide you single high safety reps, and that's what this team needs. I mean, you look back, how many times over the last couple seasons have you seen a guy who is playing high safety that shouldn't be? I always think back to when Chris Maragos was here under Chip Kelly, and he was playing single high. We can't let that happen again. We can't let guys like Corey Graham take single high safety snaps. It does help that Andrew Sendejo came in here he's going to be here this season because he definitely will allow you to play, have more freedom in the back end to play single high with guys like Rodney McLeod. If you bring in a younger safety, even shift Avante Maddox over there, there are plenty of more options. But Evan Worthington, that is where he excels. He's a guy that works well in two high, can give you added reps in single high. Just don't give me anybody named Corey Graham. Give me something to work with. He's a guy that can develop behind these two great safeties. Andrew Sendejo, I'll say, is an average safety. He's a veteran, though. He's a guy that will come in and help the younger guys learn. So a guy like Evan Worthington in the fourth round, spot where they like to draft their safeties, is a perfect pick right there at pick 138. Moving on, once again, in the next sequential order, wide receiver with an early fourth round grade, once again at 4.13. That is quite the early round fourth round grade. You've seen over the last couple years, that's where they tend to like to pick wide receivers. You see Mac Hollins, you see Shelton Gibson, Jordan Matthew was a second. You're going to see that. I don't think they're going to go wide receiver high. This isn't really the class to draft a receiver in that first round. Maybe you fall in love with an Emmanuel Hall in the second round that you can go for, but if you're picking a wide receiver in the fifth round, there are plenty of options, but one guy that really stood out to me, and funny enough, his pro day was today, is a guy like Greg Dortch. He's a guy 5'9.5", barely touching 5'9", with shoes on. He's a slot receiver type, quick, shifty type guy. He ran out of the room today at his pro day. He's a very athletic guy. Our good friend Andrew DiCecco over at the Draft Wire is a big proponent of Greg Dortch. I know Lou has brought up his name a couple times. He's a guy that you could toss in the slot because, frankly, once they open things up, it would be nice to keep Nelson Agholor around another year. I just don't see it happening after this year. And if you want a guy that can work into these zone areas, a guy that is going to get into space in and out of breaks quickly while Deshaun takes the top off and opens up the zone for everybody else, Dortch is a guy that can do that. He excels in those short area zones. He's a good change of direction guy, very good athlete. He's a guy that could come in, be your fourth, fifth, sixth passing option, be a gadget type player, and you know how much the Eagles love to move the receivers around the formations, get those guys out in space. Nelson Agholor, you've seen him go behind the formation on jet sweeps all the time. Dortch is a guy that can do that from the slot position. So to wrap up this reverse mock, we are going to finish with not the next sequential, but the second from the last at defensive tackle at a 3.83 grade, which grades out at a late third round. You know how much I love this defensive tackle class. I think they're going to go early. I know they're going to go early. Howie Roseman said it himself that it's historic. They're not going to miss out on one of these top defensive tackles. I would love for a guy like Ed Oliver to fall. Apparently, Ben Solek of the Draft Network and Bleeding Green Nation has heard rumblings that he definitely is going to not be picked in the top 10. Nothing is guaranteed in the NFL, but he's hearing things that there's a big chance he slips, not just out of the top 10, but out of the teens. So if he's sitting there in the first round, and a guy of Ed Oliver's skill set is going to be there, I expect Howie Roseman to be making calls to get up to draft him. But when you're in these late rounds, you got to find some value. And what better place to do it than right in Philadelphia's backyard with a guy like Michael Dogby. I brought up Andrew DiCecco. He pounds the table for Michael Dogby. It's because he's a local guy. He's a guy who has a good story. He did a write-up on him. You should definitely go check it out over at the Eagles Wire. But he's a guy who, he's one of these explosive first-step guys. He ran a 405, didn't get his 10-yard split from his pro day, but a 405 straight line for a defensive tackle is solid. He can get upfield. He's a guy that has some power. He's one of these gap-penetrating defensive tackles that is going to give you added reps in that rotation. When you're in the seventh round, that's exactly what you're looking for. A guy that could give you 5 to 10 reps his first couple games, then slowly work him in there. But what they have now depth-wise at the defensive tackle position is really discouraging. A guy like Dogby, though, he would really help it out for what they have right now. And with the amount of guys they have there, it's going to breed competition. They're only going to bring in more options to address that position. But as for the reverse mock draft regarding the tendencies of Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman, you could kind of see how things turned out. But as we come back in the third segment of Locked On Eagles, I'll finish it up, do some talking points on the couple positions that I didn't address, and we'll finish it up on this fine first day of spring, Wednesday, March 20th edition of Locked On Eagles. So we'll see you right after the break. All right, everybody, welcome to the final couple minutes of this last segment of the Locked On Podcast. Locked On Eagles. I am so sorry, everybody. I have vacation on the mind. I'm very excited to go. Very excited to wrap up this segment, and very excited that we're continually getting feedback on our episodes. I just want to take a second to thank everybody. We've gotten some great messages in the comments, on our tweets. We're getting interaction every single day, and it really means the world to us. Lou, he went into this industry as a communications major. He has a step up over what I did. I went to school to be an accountant. I kind of just got into this off a whim, and Lou gave me a chance, so I have to thank him for it. But to see people really go out and say how much they appreciate the work that we're doing, getting feedback, it truly means so much to us. And we're one big family as Eagles fans. As much as we may rip at each other's throats, we are one of 32 fan bases in the NFL. We represent the greatest fan base in the NFL, and I thank all of you guys for listening in every single day. We're going to continue to put out great content every week, every single podcast. We're going to continue to put out written work. I know I'm not the best writer, but I'll try my best for you guys. So thank you for the continued support. So to wrap up this first day of spring edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, I just want to finish with some final talking points. So we all have big concerns about this running back committee. I know I'm not a huge proponent of Wendell Smallwood, not a huge proponent of Josh Adams outside of the limited work that he gave us last year. I'm still confident in Corey Clement, but they need to do something, and they need to do something fast. Looking through this draft tendencies list, they're not super high on drafting running backs early, and you could see that they rank 11 out of 12 for positional grades regarding the spot that they draft them in the draft. Between them, they haven't drafted a first round running back ever. One second round running back, one third round, four in the fourth, two in the fifth, one in the sixth, and three in the seventh, and God knows how many UDFAs, because you look at Corey Clement, you look at tons of guys, Josh Adams, the list of UDFAs for Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas goes on and on at the backfield position. But I really think that they want to hit on Josh Jacobs. I think there are many other positional guys at that position of running back that they can bring in here that can have a big effect on what they already have. We mentioned Divino Zigbo could be a late round option. Bruce Anderson. There are guys that are going to come into this offense that will catch. They need, 50 catches probably to supplement what Corey Clement is going to give you. If you could get a couple hundred yards on the ground out of your rookie. But if you're going high and you're getting a guy like Daryl Henderson and Josh Jacobs, I fully expect these guys to excel behind this offensive line. There's no excuse that you still have Jason Peters. You have Jason Kelce. When Brandon Brooks comes back, he's going to get back to form. Lane Johnson is one of the best, if not the best, right tackle in football. Isaac Seumalo came along. There's no reason that when Carson Wentz gets back under helm that they can't bring in a stud running back like a Josh Jacobs, like a Daryl Henderson, even a David Montgomery type to come in here and be a 1,000-yard rusher, something that they haven't had in a long time. And it's something that really is going to be beneficial to everybody. Get a trusty running back in there that can pass protect well. You can't trust Wendell Smallwood in pass protection. You can't trust him to catch a ball when the game's on the line. Carson Wentz basically said it himself. Give him somebody he can rely upon. For all the weapons that this team has, go out there, bring in a running back that will help this team. A couple other things, just finishing up this final segment of Locked On Eagles. I was shocked at the first position that they take. Tendency-wise, is tight end at 3.29, which is a very early third-round grade. Kind of shocking for the overall positional value that many expect tight end to present. But this Eagles team does so much with their tight ends that it doesn't really shock me in the slightest. Zach Ertz, coming out of college, we knew he wasn't going to be the best pass protector, but he learned under Brent Celek, who excelled in that. You have Zach Ertz, he's coming into his own as a blocker now. Dallas Goedert was questioned about his blocking ability. He's knocked that out of the moon. So to be drafted early third for tight ends, they really value that position highly because it can do so many things. They're in the passing game, they're in the running game, they could get out wide, they can play inline. There are so many things that the tight ends could do. You'll even have guys like Trey Burton taking running back reps sometimes. So it's a... In the Eagles organization, in Joe Douglas and Howie Roseman's mind, I think it's great that they very much appreciate that position. Shocking, but not overly shocking, is quarterback at 4.0, which is late third, early fourth. And that was the third overall position in this. And it is kind of shocking to me because you look back and look at how many times the Eagles have missed on a quarterback that they wanted to draft, and they waited on later rounds. Like, they waited to draft Nick Foles. They draft guys like Mike Kafka, and then finally they cave and take Carson Wentz. It's just funny what desperation will make you do, what drafting your guy will make you do, and how you can shift from your philosophy if you love somebody. To finish up on the running back position, a position that we say, oh, they'll never draft a running back high. If Christian McCaffrey was on the board at 8 and Dalvin Cook was on the board at 30-something where they took Sidney Jones, they would have taken both of those guys. So just remember, just because this front office, just because Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas have tendencies like everybody else, doesn't mean they are stuck in their ways. And the best leaders, the best recruiters, the best managers, the best general managers, the best coaches, the best in every position of every facet of life strives to adapt, or you'll fade to black and you will fade to nothing. And in the NFL, we have seen so many teams that fail to adapt and then just fade away to absolutely nothing. But this Eagles team, they are here to stay. Joe Douglas, for the time being, is here to stay. Howie Roseman, hopefully forever, is here to stay. And hopefully, Lou and I, as your hosts of Locked On Eagles, are here to stay for the long haul. So thank you, everybody, for joining me once again on the Locked On Eagles podcast. You could always find us on LockedOnEagles.com. Find us on Twitter at @Gino_LOE for myself. Find Lou at @DiBiase_LOE. You can find our Twitter account at LockedOnBirds. Always putting our podcast on there.